Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, October the 22nd. You're listening to us on blogtalkradio.com. Weather outside is not delightful. It's kind of raining miserable due to the aftermath of Hurricane Patricia that hit slam the coast of Mexico and then somehow worked its way here. I think it's due to weather patterns. Everything goes from west to east unless it comes in from the east coast. Then it can either ride the coast or go inland a bit. But that's neither here nor there. Exciting race weekend coming up. We had the truck race, the Talladega, and of course the final race of the Challenger round, heading into the round of eight, eliminator round, and a lot of controversy over this one, of course. Reading all the social media and stuff like that, fans were, I guess, a little upset at how things turned out or the way things turned out. It was a pretty clean race until the end anyway, I think. They only had three cautions for 18 laps. At Talladega, no less. I mean, you know, it's rare a race goes that clean. And it looked like it was going to be the Dale Earnhardt Jr. show. Of course, Jeff Gordon qualified the pole. So we'll get more into that later, his last race at Talladega. And we have an announcement from Richmond International Raceway. So right now, I'd like to direct you to our guest joining us on the air, the president of Richmond International Raceway. That's right. Usually Amy Turner comes on, but she was engaged in other things, so the president, Dennis Bickmeyer, agreed to step in. So anyway, welcome, Dennis, to the show. I'd like to welcome to the show president of Richmond International Raceway, Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer. Dennis, welcome back to Garage Talk Live. It's been a while since we had you on, and you've got something to promote there on all the tracks.
What's that?
I said, and we have something going on, the new 2016 schedule and some BCU basketball, and sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, all kinds of and all kinds of things going on in the greater Richmond area. But, yeah, good news for us. A little bit of change up for our 2016 NASCAR schedule. The April race weekend, we're going to go from Friday night and Saturday night races to Saturday day and Sunday day races. So kind of back to our roots. We used to do day racing at RIR for about 40 years.
Why back off the night race? That used to be the – unless the temperature has a lot to do with it because that April race was actually the one I went to a couple of years ago, and I don't know, the thrill of night racing is just so much different than the day atmosphere, so.
The biggest thing is, obviously, we'll still have our September night race, that last race to make the chase, so we're still, you know, very happy about that. But the biggest switch, I think, for us in going to a day race, really just to differentiate the two weekends, because, you know, they had a kind of a look and the feel of the same. So we looked at this as an opportunity to change things up. And going to a day race, you know, it's an opportunity to get families and generations out to the racetrack. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that we need for our sport, is to get more and more kids and families coming back out to the sport. That's what our sport was built on.
Yeah, I know they lost a bit of that with the economy crunch back in 08 and when the ticket prices all soared before that. And it kind of squeezed out maybe a generation of fans. So I guess it's a good move on your part at Richmond International that you want to draw that back in and start growing the sport from the roots again.
That's exactly what we're doing. That's exactly the strategy that we're looking at. You know, we got to think, you know, Richmond's been around for a long time. We were a big part of NASCAR's birth and a major, major part of their growth. And we certainly want to be a big part of their future as well.
Because I know it's in a key area there in the capital of the state. You have I-95 and I-64 intersecting your area, so you get a lot of highway traffic. So, and being that the track is not that hard to get to, really, from either of those interstates and the hotels in the area. And the marketing partnership you have with the hotels probably makes it one of the premier draws in NASCAR, as well as the racing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's a big part of it is we do a great job. Our hotels do a great job in the area of really taking care of the race fans and some favorable pricing and everything. So we're certainly thankful for that.
So is the switch going to, in television time, is it going to be like the traditional Sunday at 2 and Saturday at, we'll say, was it 3:30 or something like that for the Nationwide Series?
Yeah, those will come out, sometime in the near future, but we don't anticipate any big changes based on, those traditional start times, Saturday, Sunday.
Another thing is that opens up Friday for maybe an ARCA race or maybe a truck series if they want to add to their schedules.
Well, certainly a lot of different options that we continue to look at. Nothing set in stone for sure. But, I think that's another big piece of it, too, is what do we do with Friday? How do we make, every day have, its own kind of look and feel and own level of excitement to it?
Well, that's pretty interesting. So it's going to, I guess, be great to take up a Sunday afternoon instead of a Saturday night to sit back and enjoy a race. And if you're not at the track, then the comfort of your own home. And it's usually Sunday's race day anyway, so the Saturday night races are a bonus. But a lot of people like to go out on Saturday night. If they can't get to the track, they got to go somewhere else. So at least rather than DVR the race and watch it later, then they could see it live on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, that's a big part of it, especially, when you think of Sundays as a good family day, especially in the South. And, getting family to the racetrack, as I said before, is really, really important to it.
Oh, that's for sure. I realized that when I moved down south from up north. It's like nothing's open on Sunday. What does everybody do? So if they're not making a trek to the speedway, I guess they're doing things around the house and other matters. Because it was just kind of a strange getting used to have from being able to do anything you want on a Sunday, go anywhere to pretty much everywhere's closed except maybe Walmart,
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal going on, and at least you still have the night race for the last race before the chase. That seemed to go off pretty good with the after party and all.
Yeah, well, we'll still have all those going as well, so we'll look forward to it.
Great. So, I'd like to thank you for coming on. I know you're busy. Probably don't want to miss your next flight, so thanks again for coming on, and have a safe trip.
Yeah, exactly. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Take care. Thank you.
Okay. There you have it. Dennis Bickmeyer, president of Richmond International Raceway, joining us here on Garage Talk Live. And good people there at Richmond. It's always great to have them on. Usually Amy Turner, the director of communications, calls in, but I guess she's got other plans today. Has to represent the track in another matter. Anyway, thanks again for joining us, Dennis, and good news. There you have Richmond going back to a day race. So they're splitting up the season instead of going from two night races to a day and a night race. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Number is 646-649-1899. And let us know what you think. Anyway, or you can go to our Facebook page at just go facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. Give it a like if you're not already on there. Anyway, I was just looking over the incoming news going on. What's going on? Yeah, I was just looking to get the new next year's Spring Cup schedule out. The NHRA schedule for the Mellow Yellow Series is out. IndyCar just came in with their schedule. Things ring up here. I'm trying to say them all. The IndyCar season starts on March the 13th at the streets of St. Petersburg. And they go to Phoenix, Long Beach, Barber Motorsports Park, the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. They're running two Indy races there. They're running the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, which is the road course. The F1 series used to run there. Then they pulled out. They had a tire issue, and a lot of the teams that had a... I think there was a battle between the Michelins and Bridgestones, and Michelin teams, one of the teams pulled out. It was years ago, so I can't really recall. I'd have to go back and check of it. But all the teams that had one brand of tire stayed in. The other team that was having the problems all pulled out. Apparently not like Goodyear where they can say, hey, use the tires from another track. In Indy, when they had a tire problem, they used Pocono tires because due to the layout of Indianapolis and the flatness of Pocono, it kind of used the same tire. So you got the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, May the 14th, and then 2 weeks later you got the Indy 500. Then you have a doubleheader in June after that, 4th and 5th, you have Belle Isle. It's a Saturday and a Sunday race. And that looks to be the only one this year. Other than that, everything... is a single event. And then you have, of course, the August, you have Pocono Raceway, my old neck of the woods. They used to run in Richmond back when it was the original IndyCar series. They only ran ovals. Kart was getting more European with more road courses and things like that. And Tony George, who was head of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at the time, formed his own league, the IndyCar Series, which just ran ovals. That sprung the likes of Sam Hornish Jr., Danica Patrick, you know, and all that. And then it started getting, they merged with IndyCar and sort of took their format. It was, believe it or not, the crowds... they were losing fans to begin with because of the fact that they didn't, the races were getting boring. At least NASCAR, they try to change things up to make it exciting. So, you know, that's neither here nor there. But Tony George felt the crowds wanted to see more of the oval racing, which was the original before Clark. Decided to go that way. You know, basically it was an F1 light. And the only difference is F1 doesn't run any ovals where Clark ran Fontana, Michigan, and Indianapolis. I think they limited it to three. Then they started running when the league split the Clark series. Stayed with their program, and IndyCar had their oval program. You had the guys like Unser's and the Andretti's kind of stayed with the CART series, championship auto racing teams, as they were known as. And then you had the upstarts coming up, and which groomed a lot of talent, really. And then through the bone to the CART series, because those guys couldn't run the Indianapolis 500. They had to run their league. The IndyCar series had the Indy 500, if anyone well remembers. And then they reached the olive branch out, told the CART teams if they wanted to run the Indianapolis 500, they could do so only, but they had to use the Indy car type of cars instead of the CART cars, which were more technologically advanced and cost a lot more. And that was another thing, the Indy, they keep the cost down, but the competing track was like the U.S. 500 in Fontana or Michigan, and then it was a competing race to the Indy 500, and it didn't have the luster. So the CART drivers wanted to get back to running the new Indy 500 to run there, and then they got shut out. Long story short, nobody was making any money, so they merged to bring everybody back together, and it hasn't gotten much better. They run a few more road courses than they do, a few more ovals than they did, but matter of fact, I can tell you right now what ovals they run. Run Phoenix, Indy, Texas. Everything else is on the road. So they used to actually run, that's what's another thing, is they used to run Richmond, the SunTrust Indy 500 or 400, or and running around the three quarter mile Speedway, and of course they ran Las Vegas, and then when Dan Weldon got killed, they cut out that track because they were going too fast. They cut out Charlotte because the drivers were getting dizzy for going too fast because of the banking. And IndyCar actually even ran Dover, but maybe that's one track to they can get back to, but they run a short schedule, and that's neither here nor there. But anyway, back to what we were talking about, the truck series is was running at Talladega, so and Tim Peters won that race there for Red Horse Racing. Brandon Jones took second spot. Mason Mingus was third. Eric Jones is fourth. Tyler Reddick fifth. Cameron Haley sixth. Seventh was Johnny Sauter. Chris Fontaine was eighth. Chad Boat was ninth. Son of Billy Boat, IndyCar driver. And Tyler Young, famous names in there. John West Townley finished 16th, who came off his first truck series win the week before. So, Matt Crafton and all didn't have good days as well, you know, with Talladega. Being Talladega, Crafton led the most. He led three times for 43 laps, but Timothy Peters led the second most laps five times for 23 laps. The race took 2 hours and 16 seconds, and the average speed was 130 miles an hour, and the race ended under caution. Of course, Talladega was the result of, due to the carnage that usually happens on restarts, and especially green-white checker restarts, NASCAR imposed a restrictor plate track rule where there would only be one attempt at a green-white checker. So obviously, they imposed that rule, and of course they didn't get it underway, and they did get it underway, and then proceeded to create a caution to finish the race under caution. That being said, in the Camping World Truck Series. Now, the points have been jumbled up a bit with Eric Jones now in a top spot. Tyler Reddick, 18 points behind. Matt Crafton is third now. He was leading the pack for a while. Fourth is Johnny Sauter. Timothy Peters, sixth. Fifth, Cameron Haley is sixth. Daniel Hemric is seventh. John West Townley, eighth. Ben Kennedy, ninth. And tenth is Spencer Gallagher. We had him on last year. Might have to bring him back as the season starts to dwindle down. As we get to a few races left to go. But first ninth, we have six truck races left. NASCAR is working on their final five. So I guess five truck races left. Sprint Cup Series is working on their final races of the year. Other sprint announcement where NASCAR announced that they've reached a five-year sanctioning agreement with 23 tracks. For the Sprint Cup Series for the next 5 years. And 24 tracks will host the Xfinity Series. But Series will only be the Sprint Cup Series till the end of next year. And then there'll be a new series with a new sponsor name. So we'll have to wait and see that. And the only one not really dialed in are the Camping World Truck Series schedule. And those tracks, so that's they're still working on. So NASCAR will kick off the 2016 season against the new backdrop of a completely reimagined Daytona International Speedway, Daytona Rising. Oh, here we go. Speedway's $400 million redevelopment project will be complete when both the Xfinity and the Sprint Cup Series launch at Daytona weekend. So that'll give you something to go check out when you head down there. The 2016 Daytona 500 will kick it off February the 21st and air live on Fox. Of course, Fox with the first half of the year, NBC with the second of the year. And then up to Atlanta, and then head west to Vegas, Phoenix, Auto Club. So, other changes to the 2016 Pocono will host its first ever NASCAR Xfinity Series event in June. So they'll be joining the Sprint Cup Series for a companion event at the three-turn track, the Tricky Triangle. Place I used to be a season ticket holder for a few years there, from 87 to about 92. Used to go to both Pocono races every year. We camped a couple of years, and then a couple of years after that, we rented a cabin, which is a lot better. You had your own plumbing. And then the ARCA race, I guess, will be in there. So they might be running a doubleheader with the ARCA and Xfinity races on the Saturday, and then a cup race on Sunday, just like they do with ARCA and the trucks in July. Other big events, of course, Richmond, we just talked about, running Saturday and Sunday, spring race, and then the last race before the chase will stay the same. Dover's getting a changeover. They will move to earlier, and it'll be held before Memorial Day weekend prior to the Charlotte event. NBC will usher the 20s, their half of the season with the July race at Daytona going to back to Saturday night, which makes a lot of sense, really. And the August Sprint Cup race at Michigan will move to later in the month. So, Dover moves to May 15th next year, 1 week before the All-Star race and the Coke 600, where it used to be right after the Coke 600. Now Pocono gets bumped up a week, and then Michigan, Sonoma, can miss out at least. They're keeping Dover as the eliminator race in the contender challenger. Now we're going into the elimination round, where we go from 8 down to 4 for one action-packed event at Miami. I'm going to have to reach out to some of these PR directors like in Miami to have them on and go from there. Of course, this weekend we're in my neck of the woods. We go to race one of the eliminator round that kicks it all off, Martinsville Speedway. A cute little half-mile paperclip where cars like to push and shove their way around the track, just like old-school racing. So we just have to keep an eye on that one. So anyway, just wanted to bring to your attention that that's why we had Dennis come on to tell us about the schedule change with Richmond. We got it firsthand instead of picking it up off the press release. But back to the chase schedule. Now it comes down to 8 guys kicking it off. And that would be Logano, Edwards, Gordon still in there. Kyle Busch made the cut. He was on the verge of elimination. Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, and then Kyle Busch. Obviously, a win moves you on to the finale. One win and you're in. No need to sweat out the last race at Phoenix. Of course, the contender12 with the challenger around the 16, the contender round of 12, and then the eliminator round of 8, and the championship race at Homestead. Boy, how lucky is that? There's your marketing ploy between them and Ford having the whole race weekend. So, it should be pretty interesting to go from there. But back to Talladega, and here's where it gets interesting. Watching the race yesterday, clean event. I mean, it was uncharacteristically un-Talladega-like until the end of the race. And then people were probably into calling shenanigans because of how things turn out. But all in all, the guy who won races one and two of this round, the contender round, Joey Logano, actually stuck it to the rest of the field because anybody that won the race at Talladega would advance unless it was you or Joey Logano who already had advanced. But as it turns out, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jeff Gordon, those kind of Gordon on the pole, his last race at Talladega, you would think he would have, you know, have won a chance to win that one to move on into the contender, I mean, the eliminator round. And then you have Dale Earnhardt Jr., who I actually picked to win the race. He's probably the only guy that looks forward to a restrictor plate race because he has five wins there, all of them in a row, or most of them in a row. And, of course, two Daytona 500 wins, Coke Zero 400 win, used to be the Firecracker 400. But he's got wins in the race, the July race. So he's got a legacy of being a restrictor plate. You've heard of road course ringers? He's a restrictor plate ringer. And yesterday was no option. He was out front most of the day. Run, it looked like Hendrick drivers leading most of the time. Jimmy Johnson led 34 laps. Casey Kane led for 18 laps, which tied him with Greg Biffle, who's actually more on that a little later with Biffle. But when Biffle led, he led late. And Logano led for 20 laps. And then Junior led for 61 laps. And he pretty much ran the field. Junior screwed himself pretty much when he had problems entering pit road. He had a man over the wall penalty, and he kept locking his brakes up and flat spotting his tires, especially. And then on the last pit stop of the day, where he just wanted to come in for a gas and go, he wound up locking his brakes up coming into pit road, so they had to change two tires. And this was on the green, so it didn't really help. So he had a get back in the fight his way back up, and then the first of a few yellows came out. There were only three all day for 18 laps. First one came out at lap 133 for fluid when the 51 built some. And in lap 185, Jamie McMurray had an engine let go because so that kind of bunched the field up, and Earnhardt was able to gain a lot of track position because he knows how to work the draft, and wound up the second spot. So he did make it back. Actually, he made it back to it was Logano, Gordon, Earnhardt, and Keselowski. And Logano had the lane choice for the restart, and he wound up picking the high side, which kind of split the field up. So you had Logano to the outside, Gordon to the inside, Keselowski on the inside, and Junior on the outside. So the teammates couldn't line up and race each other, team up together, which kind of made it tough for Junior because he had to figure out a way to get around Logano to take the win. So that happened. So they threw the green flag, and they started wrecking behind them. Harvick went up into Trevor Bayne, or they had a problem there where Bayne went up into Harvick, and that shut down the field. But due to the fact that they threw the yellow right away, due to the fact that Logano had not caught the start finish line before the yellow was redisplayed, it wasn't considered an attempt at a green white checker, even though it was, but it wasn't really. So when that happened, they rebunched up the field. We had Junior and Logano paired off, and we had another attempt at a green-white checker, which was actually they were able to take the flag there. It was Logano to the outside. Junior was in second by now. He was on the inside. And, of course, Gordon and Keselowski were, again, Gordon was behind Logano, and Keselowski was behind Junior, so you didn't know if anybody was going to push anybody or if they were going to let the two front guys battle on each own or try to take the lead anyway. You didn't know what was going to happen on the restart. So came out. They actually took the green flag. They got to the start-finish line, and there was a tight battle up front between Junior and Logano, and guess what? They started wrecking again. So NASCAR threw the caution again, and at that particular point in time, the race was basically considered over. You had to maintain pace lap speed for two whole laps because they hadn't taken the white yet, and then come back for the checker. Well, due to the fact that the field was bunched up and it was close, they had to go by scoring loop as far as position cars, and it was deemed that Joey Logano held the lead at the scoring loop where everybody made it through. And that gave him the checkered flag, thus sweeping the whole round, three straight wins. And that ruined everybody's day that thought they had a shot, especially Junior, because he desperately needed that win to get in. So he was 12th in the field of 12 that was eligible to move on. Joey Logano was his first win at Talladega, his sixth win on the year. He gets the hat trick, a natural hat trick with three in a row. And that's pretty impressive there. So right now he's looking like the odds-on favorite to actually win the Sprint Cup. But he's still got four races to go. Carl Edwards is in the second. Dale Jr. wound up second. Jeff Gordon came home third in his final event. Brad Keselowski was fourth. Carl Edwards fifth. Paul Menard sixth. Truex Jr. in seventh. Eighth, Clint Bowyer. Ninth, Ricky Stenhouse. Good run for Ricky. 10th and 11th, the Busch brothers, Kurt first, Kyle second. Kyle was on the verge of getting eliminated because he was in the bottom four going in. But as of right now, he is in the top eight. He's eighth, but he's in the top eight. Denny Hamlin had a rough day. The battle was between him and his teammate Kyle Busch for that last spot. At one point, Hamlin was ahead. At one point, Busch was ahead. And Denny Hamlin, who didn't have that good a day, wound up getting wrecked in one of those last cautions. the one leading up, the one at the lap 196 on the last restart. It was him, the 95, Tony Stewart, Kenseth, the 38, Harvick, Patrick, Dillon, Austin Tite, Sam Hornish Jr., Trevor Bayne, and the 7 car. I don't even know who's in that anymore. Let me take a look. It used to originally be the Alan Kowicki's car, and then Robbie Gordon had it for a while. Alex Bowman in the 7 car. That was a championship-winning number back in 1992. But anyway, right now it's Logano, Edwards. Logano at the top of the heap with 6 wins. Carl Edwards, second place with 2 wins. They're all the points reset. Right now they're set at 4,000, so everybody starts fresh. The leader comes in according to the amount of wins. Jeff Gordon makes it in. In lines, Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski is 5th, Martin Truex Jr. 6th, Harvick, I said, was spared with that wreck. He was season 7, and then Kyle Busch rounds out the top 8, who will battle on in the next 3 series of races, starting at Martinsville this weekend and going on to from Texas and then Phoenix. So we have another southwestern swing here after Martinsville. And then back to the East Coast on the 22nd for the 40 Go Boost 400. The race to decide it all. Now, this week's race will be on NBC Sportsnet. And then the last 3 of the season will be on network. So, you'll be able to catch it all on free TV as opposed to cable. Of course, everybody has cable or something anyway, but actually, we have some audio from our winner. So let's hear what Joey Logano had to say after winning his 3rd in a row, first at Talladega, shutting out the rest of the field at being the only one to actually hold the line. I think it's the first time this has been done. At least during the Chase era, definitely during the new Chase era. So anyways, check in with Joey.
All right, we'll go ahead and continue on with our post-race availability in today's CampingWorld.com 500. We are now joined by race winner Joey Logano, driver of the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford. Joey, you've swept all 3 races in the contender round. Quite an accomplishment for you and the 22 team. Talk about your team's momentum and the win here today.
We got momentum, that's for sure. This team's just been firing all 8 right now. It's amazing. All these different types of racetracks have been able to win it this season and how hard everyone keeps fighting. And we want the big trophy at the end of the year. You know, we want to win every trophy in between, but we want the big one at the end of the season. And this, what we've shown here this last round is a big deal. But the fact of the matter is we're back to 0 again. what we do have going for us that other teams don't have is a lot of confidence. We got momentum, and we're relaxed. We've shown that we know how to do it. We just got to keep going out there and doing what we know how to do.
All right, we'll go ahead and open it up to questions. Please state your name and affiliation. We'll start up front with George, and then go to Don.
Yeah, Joey, George Diaz with the Orlando Sentinel. Can you take us through the last? I guess it was the only green light checker that counted. How concerned were you that Junior could catch you there?
Well, it's going to be some back and forth for sure on what was going to happen. And when you're lining up against the best at super speedway racing, you know, and in a very fast car, he's proved that throughout the whole day that his car was very fast. Also proved the 24 was really fast throughout the day as well. So, you know, wanted to have that 24 behind me to push. I felt like he was really good on restarts. I saw that earlier in the race. So I felt like, okay, that's what I got to do. I got to get around those guys. And, you know, I was able to, I wanted to split them up for one. I thought those two together would be too strong to beat. So I felt like I had to split them up. I thought the top lane was the lane of choice that I felt like we needed to have. And was able to make the run and get out ahead enough before the caution came out.
And then Joey Logano on his race win. Little strategy being played at the end. You could see that coming. Junior and Gordon were fast all day and did have pretty much. But anyway, also in action this coming week, the NHRA kicks off the round at Las Vegas. Make sure we touch on everything, you know. Two races to go, two events to go before they wrap up their championship season. With here's the standings as they look. Right now, Antron Brown has a 132-point lead over Tony Schumacher. In second, there's 10 people in the countdown. Here's the only two of any relevance. Richie Crampton and Brittany Force will battle it out for third and fourth. There are only 4 points separating them. There's only two events left, 8 rounds of elimination, so 20 points per round. It's feasible that Schumacher might bring it in. You figure 20 times 8 is 160. It could be done, but you got to hope the other goes out early. And I don't think that's going to happen with Antron Brown. He wins one round. He's pretty much got it locked up. So you're looking at a 7-round lead there, maybe. Maybe a 5-round lead. 6 rounds is 120 points. So I'm still trying to figure out how the hell they do that. But anyway, Schumacher does have a chance if Antron Brown goes out in the first round. Schumacher would have to take all the bonus points, take bonus points in qualifying, and win every round and take home both Wallys to have a shot. That would give him 20, 40, 60, 80, 120. So he would need to win 7 of the last 8 rounds. So I don't see that happening because Antron does usually go a few rounds deep, and that's all he'll need. To take home the championship Wally at the end of the season. In the funny car division, Del Worsham and Jack Beckman. Now, here's the battle. Tommy Johnson Jr., third at 147 back. He's mathematically has a shot, but Del Worsham in the top spot and Jack Beckman in second with 38 points back. You're looking at 2 rounds there. Top qualifier bonus points could whittle a few off of that, bring it down to about 35. But both run pretty quick. So right there, here's your major battle in the NHRA. Probably come down to the last event out in Pomona. So this should be an interesting event to watch this weekend on the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series on ESPN2 usually carries that. So if you want to check that out, go there. So we'll see that battle. In Pro Stock, Erica Ender Stevens has 154-point lead over her arch rival and closest competitor, Greg Anderson. Chris McGahey, who took out Anderson early last race and then wound up losing to Erica in the next round. So she kind of sealed the deal there, and she only needed to win, figure, two rounds, and she should have her second championship locked up in short order there. Of course, she's always under the top three qualifiers, so she gets bonus points. She'll get bonus points for that. That's just a little icing on the cake. We had her on last week. She's thrilled to have get this on. You can go back and tune it in on our podcast at blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive. It'll be the first podcast after this one. And you can just check it out in the but that's where that is. So we look for Erica to clinch this weekend. I'm pretty sure she will. And the only thing is, by the time we find out the results, watching it on TV, it's late at night, and that's run during the day, so I'd have to congratulate her the day later. But she will have her on after the season, winning the championship. Let's see where. Let's see how enjoyable it is. A lot of stuff planned in the off season, as we discussed last week. Her sister's getting married. Courtney Enders, for her fitness thing, but now she's also the team trainer. I guess she whips everybody into shape. In the Pro Stock Motorcycle, here's another battle. Hector Arana Jr. in fourth is 81 back of Andrew Hines. You got Hines and Krawick, 1 and 2. That switched from last week when it was Krawick and Hines. There's a 21-point gap there. Gerald Savoie, he's 31 back. And Chip Ellison, fifth, if you really want to count it out, he's 107 back. The Pro Stock Bike is a tight race. Karen Stouffer in seventh is 132 back. She's mathematically got a shot, but any one of those top, I'll say three, can do it. Even four with Hector Jr. It's just that tight of a race. The bike's been a Krawick and Hines championship over the last few years. I think Hector Arana Jr. snuck one in between that, but they're your top four that are going to be battling it out. And we'll see how the ladders fall. If they compete against each other, they've got a good chance to stretch the lead out. If they don't, they can pretty much stay that tight. But anyway, on to prognosticating this weekend's event at Martinsville. Going into this week, last season was Dale Jr.'s first ever win. At the Paperclip, Jeff Gordon was second, and then we're talking, you know, the same round in the chase. I think Dale Jr. was still involved in it back at that point. As a matter of fact, he had just made it with his win. And actually, no, he wasn't. He was eliminated. The round of eight went to Gordon, Newman, Logano, Kenseth, Hamlin, Edwards, Keselowski, Harvick, and Kyle Busch. And Harvick, Kyle Busch had just been eliminated. Junior, again, with the win, took somebody else's chance to advance out of the race. But he did take home his first ever grandfather clock, which is pretty nice trophy to have. kind of neat whether you get the different trophies for the different tracks. That's one gripe I have with the NHRA. It's the same thing week in, week out. You might have a row of little statues of Wally Parks. But I guess it's cost effective. Flies them and not the track. Earlier this year, it was Denny Hamlin taking the win, which helped him out in the points. It guaranteed him a spot in the chase. So, and then you had Keselowski, Logano, Kenseth, Reagan, Truex. Danica have had a seventh place finish. Of course, I'm not going to pick her to win this one, but Dwight. See, I see Logano in the top of the batch. And this one, the only one I didn't see in the race last year in the top 10 was Keselowski. He went out with a 30th place finish, so it looks like he got the, looking back on the results, there's a running, so problems. So did Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch was a 10th place start, actually led for a while. So I know he's eliminated, but looking into things, this year wasn't good for Gordon. He's actually still in the chase, but he's pointing his way in. Can he get his fifth championship? I don't know. I think the guy to beat will be in the Cup Series will be Joey Logano. We'll have to get in the Sprint Cup on, and we'll ponder that one. We'll get her in going in before the last race of the season. I'm going to pencil her in for prior to Homestead. But anyway, who am I looking at? It's a tough call. Logano's consistent in both races between the Chase one last year and the first one this year, that Hamlin one, but he just won three in a row. It's not impossible to win four in a row. Harry Gant did it years ago, but this was the 90s. Teams that won. He actually won this race when to make his fourth in a row, and his front end was all mashed in, but he still was able to take the checkered flag. Now, Martinsville, one of those tracks where aerodynamics is not a major issue. You don't get the speeds up to worry about a draft. As long as your radiator isn't broke and you don't have your fenders mashed in on your tires, you can still get around the track. Might not be pretty, but right now I'm weighing my options. Kansas does have a good run in both races. Again, I don't see he could play the spoiler and take the win, but I don't see you know what? I'm going to go with Matt. I think he's consistent enough. We could stay out of trouble. That's going to be my pick. Matt Kenseth for the win this year. Well, anyway, that's our show for today. Tune in next week when I hope to have a couple of very special guests. We're going to divert away from motorsports for a little while. I got some friends with a new album coming out that want to talk about it. Anyway, more on that next week. Check on our Facebook page, or we'll be promoting the appearance anyway. So hope you all had a good time listening. I'd like to thank our special guest, Richmond International Raceway Track President Dennis Bickmeyer. And we'll see you all next week. Good night. Good day and good racing. Bye now.